Hello and welcome to Partnerships Plus. I'm Phil Hay-Sinclair and this podcast is designed to help you create and grow business partnerships that you never thought possible. You're about to listen to an Ask Me Anything or AMA episode that is co-hosted with executive coach and my good friend Melissa Rosenthal. Mel works with founders and leaders to drive growth for companies and the people in them. She works with global companies like Who Gives a Crap, QBE, Shipit, and ThoughtWorks. She also specializes in unique challenges faced by leaders in medical science, working with renowned institutes including WEHI, Doherty, and Peter Mac. And in our AMAs, she's here to ask the tough questions. If you'd like to ask a partnerships question, follow the link in the show notes. You'll also find more information about how Mel can help your organization there too. So without delay, welcome to a Partnership Plus Ask Me Anything episode.
It's nice to have the band back together, and kind of ironic that we have a partnership talking about partnerships.
Indeed.
So our first conversation, I think, today gives us a really good opportunity to talk about why partnerships are important. And I wanted to start with a couple of questions for you. One is, of all the things you've done in your career and of all the choices you have in front of you about what you might want to talk about on a new pod, why have you picked partnerships as the thing you want to talk about?
I have had the fortune to build a lot of things in my career. Some things have worked out really well. Some things have been pet projects and side things. And I've had a chance to observe a whole range of different organizations, from big companies, small companies, not-for-profit, government organizations. And when I was sort of thinking about the ingredients that go to make great outcomes, regardless of what the outcome is, but great outcomes, yes, there are people. Yes, there's culture. Yes, there are all these ingredients, but the thing that always seemed to me to be like the X factor was partnerships that in retrospect just seem really normal. And of course that happened. And that's a really logical thing to sort of look back and reflect on. I also know that in everything that I've built, in the things that I've built that have been successful, it has had partnerships as a core ingredient. And things that have not been very successful have not had partnerships as part of that. And when I look at the most unexpected partnerships in the world that have happened to date, which I'm sure every partnership idea starts with, I wonder if someone would do this, or I wonder if company A would do this. And everyone's going, no, rubbish, that'll never happen. But then you look back on it and go, well, it had to start somewhere. Every big company started as a small company. And the same thing I think is true with partnerships. So one of my favorites is the Intel Inside partnership story, where for all of us who had Dell laptops or desktops, the computer processing chip inside was an Intel chip. And the way that they grew and became super prolific was by having the chip inside the computer, but having that tiny little sticker that said Intel Inside. It was a masterstroke. When you look at today's businesses and you think about, can somebody go it alone? Look at Apple, look at Google, and you see a really big, prominent brand. But what people often forget is that they have partnerships everywhere because you can't be good at everything. So when I think about the opportunity to grow, particularly in a really tumultuous kind of time like we find ourselves in the moment, there are people that can do one thing really well, maybe two or three things really well, and you might be the same, but rarely is it that you can grow and scale by doing it by yourself. So when I think about partnerships, I've had the very good fortune through excellent relationships to build really unexpected ones where people look at it and I get quite chuffed when I hear people say, how did that come off? Well, I wanted to help people work out a playbook for them to go, actually, here's how you do it. Here's how you turn a semi-random idea into a relationship, into a Venn diagram where there's an overlap where people go, yes, we have a shared ambition and not only will it help you, but it'll help us. And then just working out ways to grow and cherish those partnerships, because I actually don't think you can grow without them.
Nice. One of the things that's really interesting to me is how we define the idea of partnership. And I sort of come from the place when I think about, say, my own coaching business, for example, where every time I begin a new coaching engagement, I do that. And I actually talk actively about this, that we are doing this in the spirit of partnership and we're coming together in a particular way. But at the same time, I know that the company that's engaging me sees me as a supplier, not necessarily as a partner, because of the nature of what we're doing. So from your point of view, what is a partnership? How does it differ from other kinds of relationships? Particularly because, you know, if you go on the internet and you Google partnership, you're going to get a whole spectrum of stuff coming back at you. So what are we talking about here?
So at its most fundamental level, we're talking about trust. And so this idea, as you said, in your coaching practice, when you start speaking to somebody, you are trying to reduce the time to trust as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Right. And that's not about you can't short circuit trust, which is a really important thing to think about. So it'll take as long as it needs to take. Mm-hmm. But the ambition is to make it as short as possible so you can get on with doing things together. And you can be developing trust at the same time you're doing things. But the reality is that trust is the bedrock to make sure that your partner will trust you, they'll listen, you'll listen to them, there's an exchange of ideas, and ultimately values created as a consequence.
Is there a relationship between the speed at which you can move and the trust that you've got?
I think it's different for every relationship or partnership. But the way that I think about it is if somebody is really urgently trying to work with you, grow something quickly because they're urgent, and if you can match that urgency and you can find a way to build trust in that relationship, fantastic. But it's very uncommon for the two new partners to be operating at the same speed. So a small company might be really urgent. A large company might be urgent in their own way, but it's slower. And obviously that can cause frustration.
Yeah.
When we think about what partnership actually means, when trust is the bedrock, partnership is a mindset that allows you to get close to your new business partners, but they could be any kind of partner, and for them to come close to you to a point where the objective that they have and the objective that you have can be achieved over a particular amount of time. Now, a number of people have asked me the question, well, if I'm a supplier and a partner, my answer would be, well, your mindset must be, as a supplier in their view, still a partner, because anyone who views themselves as just a supplier will meet the minimum threshold of what's required to deliver to remain a supplier. Those people who are looking to be a partner will often find ways to go above and beyond in ways that are uncharacteristic but make them stand out so that people can go, actually, I think I want to deal with that person more or that company more, because inevitably there'll come a time where there'll be a rocky patch in a partnership. And when the rocky patch comes, and it will come, the question will be, is that supplier, that partner, that customer, are they going to still show up in the same way? And you've really got to try and bank some credit as early as you can in that trust journey so that when it does become that problematic, that people go, no, it's fine, we'll just work through it, as opposed to going, no, I think we're going to end it here. So what we're actually trying to do in partnership, as that sort of mental model suggests, is we're just trying to build up a bank of respect that will allow us to then move into a really great next chapter. Or when the rockiness comes, we can navigate that without fear of it becoming disastrous.
And what do you say to people, and I've certainly heard this before, what do you say to people who say, it's a ton of work, I'm not sure it's worth it?
I say, well, you can go so far by yourself, or you can invest the time to build a partnership and see some really unexpected returns. Some people also say, do you have to be an extrovert? I'm introverted. There could be a whole bunch of behavioral things that you impose on yourself to say this is not the case. But just look at every single example of success in impact, in commerce, or even at a government level where there's maybe a private-public partnership. The ones that have always been the most successful have had people who were interested in building a relationship and solving a big problem together. They're not the people who have said, oh, we'll go it alone. Thanks very much.
It's interesting you use the word private and public, and I know you used them in a very different context a second ago, but I actually wanted to ask you, when you think about the two people or the two entities in a partnership, does it always have to be like Intel where, you know, it's highly visible?
I don't think it has to be, because there are many organizations that don't declare their partners. Even this week at Drop By Health, we talked about a case study of a partnership that we have that would ordinarily never see the light of day. It was in a very specific part of software engineering. They did an amazing job, and I thought it would be a travesty if we didn't sort of surface the work. Now, there are some people who are super excited about that, many who aren't. But the whole idea of helping support the work that other people are helping you achieve is really important. Now, does that help us? Well, it certainly makes our partners feel good about the fact that we feel great about the work that's been going on. Does it help them with their business development? Sure does. But it's not to say that a company who is a smaller ingredient inside a larger company's success needs to be celebrated. But I'd urge people, if you are that smaller ingredient, to think about that. Like a cooking analogy, if a larger organization's engaged you, it's because they don't have what you've got. And so your mission as a partner is to become an essential ingredient, right? So they can't do without you.
Yeah,
and
that's
this
nice.
Is where this becomes really interesting. And that's the mindset that a lot of business development people do have, because they understand it takes time to build trust, build a relationship. It's not a mindset that many salespeople have, because they're a little bit more transactional.
If I'm listening to this and I'm a massive cynic and I'm going, like, transactional, transactions make the world go round and I'm just going to focus on transactions. But, you know, just in case I'm wrong, I'm going to experiment with what this guy feels telling me about.
Yep.
What's the first step that you recommend for somebody who needs to make that mindset shift from transactional to partnership, what's the first step you recommend for them making that
shift? Yeah, well, the mindset shift is pretty straightforward. Let's imagine how much you can do with as many transactions as you can possibly transact. Just pick the highest single amount of transactions you could do yourself. And there'll be a natural ceiling to that, right? Because you've only got so much time, you've only got so much customers. There's only so much outreach you can do and that your company or your organization can support. Let's imagine what happens if instead of you having to do all those individual transactions, you end up putting that same capability and become a core ingredient to another organization that ends up selling on your behalf or white labeling the thing you've got. That just means you've just gone and scaled yourself. And in my experience, what comes next is actually a whole bunch of partnerships. So I don't think it necessarily needs to be either or, but I do think if you're looking for that next step, this idea of building a platform where you can sort of get more people doing things on your behalf and it serves them well, then I think you're in some pretty good shape.
It sounds like we started talking about trust and trust has been the essence of those partnerships. It sounds like you actually have to trust yourself before you can go and build relationships where you have trust with others, because it requires a real openness, right? To say, I'm going to be open to other opportunities. I'm like, even that idea of scaling yourself, whether that's an individual or a company, that can be big and scary for some people. And so you kind of have to have the trust and the confidence in yourself before you can open that up to other people. And I'm wondering, like, how you think about setting yourself up for that.
I think it starts with defining the value that you think you can provide to a future partner. And we talk about this in one of the courses I've got. I can walk up to someone and say, so what keeps you busy in the daytime? And you'll hear a myriad of different responses. But when you get down to the brass tacks of what's the value that you or your organization create in the context of another organization, so in a business partnership, for example, it's often not a very succinct answer. And there's some real confidence that comes with that clarity. Once you've been able to work out even just the two line of value proposition that says, this is what we do, if that's compelling and high conviction, and somebody in another organization hears that and just goes, oh, that's interesting, I don't think we've got that. And we've got this other project thing happening over here that we'd like to plug that into. There's some real goodness that comes from that. And it's one of those things that takes practice, because every future potential partner is doing something different usually. So being able to tweak the value proposition for whoever that is important. One of the ones that I'm most proud of at Drop that we did in fertility was as a consequence of a relationship I had with the CEO who we used to work together many, many, many years ago. And it was such a delight to realize that she'd taken the reins of this organization, and we caught up one day and we were talking about what we do at Drop, and all I had to do was sort of express it, and then what came back from her was, look, what we're trying to do is this, maybe there's something in the middle. And there was no certainty about what was in the middle, right? It was just maybe there's something, there was some resonance somewhere, and that's all it took, and the rest is kind of history. Having some confidence to just express what you do, you don't have to solve all the problems for the partner. If the partner is onto what's going on, they'll look back and go, actually there's something really interesting here. But it does take the ability for a partner to be open to partnership too. One thing that I suggest a lot of people do, and I do this as a matter of course every day when we're looking at new potential markets or partners or product lines, if we want to partner with an organization, we look for their track record in partnership. And it's very easy to find, right? Often you'll see where they distribute through, what kind of products they do, who else they've got affiliates with. And if there's no evidence of that whatsoever, then that's the first heuristic to go, I'm not really sure this organization's going to be open to it. Now, they might be, they might never have been asked, but it's highly unlikely. So what we end up doing is looking for that and just looking for how it's played out for them in the past. And then who the people in those organizations are that have led those kind of partnerships. And then we just try and find a way to talk to them.
Can I take you back to when you were describing that meeting and you said, you know, you described what you did, she described what she was up to, and there was sort of a resonance about that, even though you didn't quite know what it was going to be. My best guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my best guess is that resonance can come from different things. So it can come from a technical subject matter. We're working in the same space. It might almost come from like a personality, like a chemistry connection. Maybe might come from a values connection that sits alongside as well. Are there other sources of resonance that that you've seen come up, or do those ones make sense?
Oh, they make a lot of sense. When you look to the key reason for that organization being, in the case of this partnership, the key metric above anything else was improving the success rates of IVF. And the entire organization on their side is completely in service of that outcome. And they work tirelessly for it. And that's a very powerful thing to be told, because as the person who may end up being a partner in the future, the question that was left in my mind was, well, how can we play a role to make that outcome more successful? So it's one thing for you as the partner selling the wares to express it well, but when you're greeted with the same kind of expression backwards, this light bulb moment, wow, hang on, I think we can play a role here. And that's why it becomes really quick and easy to have that meeting of the minds. So I guess the tip here is be able to express the value you have and expect to be the recipient of another value expression, and just try and think about, where does the overlap happen? And there might not be one. Right, it might be, oh, that's interesting. And you sort of go, oh, actually, I was expecting something different. We can't do anything here. But if you've gotten in front of somebody, there's a likelihood that somewhere there has been a perceived overlap. And so just trying to explore that a little bit makes a big difference. And it can take you into some pretty unexpected territory. But that's the interesting part about trying to forge a partnership, trying to understand where that common ground is. Because once that common ground is established and everyone can see it, it's as if there is just light bulbs in a room. And everyone now just has to work through, all right, what's the language? What are we here to do? And then you get into project planning. And that's then the rest is history.
The example that you just gave is a beautiful one, because it's short, it's crystal clear. That organization knows exactly what it's about. And I wonder, you know, for the people who don't yet have that same crystal clear articulation, whether it's about an objective. Like in the case that you described, it's a value proposition. That's the value that they are trying to create is higher success rates in fertility. So there's a value proposition in it, but it's actually an aspiration. So if somebody is struggling to articulate it, to be able to say, what is it that you're trying to do? Let's keep it super simple. In 5 words or less, what are you trying to do? Maybe that's an easier way for people who haven't yet managed to get to their articulation to be able to say, oh, well, we're just trying to do this.
When you're in a larger organization that's relatively well established, hopefully that's relatively clear. But I think when it comes down to expressing that value, everybody has their way of expressing it in a way that sort of resonates. And it's just practice. That's all it really is. Let's imagine the context is you're in a pub, you're at a cafe. Somebody else has to pick up the message you've given them. And a successful outcome of that interaction is that they've been accurately able to replay what you've told them to someone else because it was so simple to remember. If you can nail that, you're onto something quite effective, because the person who is now going to be your sponsor, or the person who's going to sort of champion you inside that larger organization, needs to have something which is super simple for them to sell internally. And then if they do their job well, it'll spread like wildfire through the organization.
How many times do you hear somebody say, I met this guy or girl on the weekend and they were telling me about what they do and it's kind of this and I don't really fully understand it, but it's, I think it's kind of in this space. And you go, they haven't quite got it nailed yet.
That's right. But I think the point for anyone who is starting off, it's about just having that confidence. And that confidence can be done in a conversation like what we're having right now, where we just practice. Or it could be that you sort of go home to your partner and say, listen, I'd just like to pitch to you. Can I try a line on you about what this looks like? Or just try it with a friend. And I tell you what, once you nail it, you will just know deep inside you that you've nailed it, right?
There is that feeling in the gut, right? When you say it out loud, you look somebody in the eye, you say it out loud, and you go, that sounds about right.
That's it. That's it. And so that's not to say that that's how it will always be. But for that time, for that stage of where you're at, that's good enough for now. So let's get after it and see what we can craft in terms of partnerships.
What an interesting set of answers. I look forward to our next opportunity to come together. I get to just ask all the questions that people send us in. So hopefully people will send us a few questions and I get to put you under the pump again soon.
It'll be good. Thanks, Mel.
Thank you. See you soon.
Thanks very much for listening. If you'd like to level up your partnership skills, you can sign up for free to receive the 5 tactics in my partnership toolkit delivered by email as a 5-day course. There's a link in the show notes for easy access so you can get started. And finally, and on a personal note, I wouldn't be where I am today without the encouragement of many other people. So in the spirit of paying it forward, send some encouragement to someone who needs it today. You never know, it could change their life. See you next time. Mel works with founders and leaders to drive growth for companies and the people in them. She works with global companies like Who Gives a Crap, QBE, Shipit, and ThoughtWorks. She also specializes in unique challenges faced by leaders in medical science, working with renowned institutes including WEHI, Doherty, and Peter Mac. And in our AMAs, she's here to ask the tough questions. And in these Ask Me Anything episodes, she's here to ask the tough questions.